everyone. This is the Left, Right and Center, and I'm Maria Shakil. Congress Chief Mallikarjun Kharge on Monday wrote to President Draupadi Murmu, reiterating concerns over the Agnipat scheme for armed services recruitment, which cuts tenure and offers fewer service benefits. Mr. Kharge, in fact, highlighted what he called was injustice to almost 200,000 young men and women. He said their future has become uncertain due to the ending of the regular recruitment process. Enrollments under the scheme commenced in 2022 despite protests. Agnipath is designed to bring more people into the armed forces on four-year contracts to lower the average age of the military. The government has maintained that the Agnipath scheme has been brought in to lower age profile of the forces, and there are a number of avenues for the Agniveers who leave the force after 4 years. Is the Congress chief trying to bring the focus on the issue of jobs and youths before the election by talking about the Agnipath scheme again? The Congress and the wider opposition have consistently attacked the central government on what they call the betrayal on jobs. The Prime Minister, on the other hand, has claimed that his government has created 1.5 times more jobs than the UPA in 10 years. He has further maintained that government expenditure on infrastructure is also creating jobs. So we ask on the show, will jobs be the big issue for 2024 elections? Joining me on the show, Dr. Shama Mohammed, representing the Congress. We have Dr. Geeta Bhatt, political analyst. Anupam is national president of Yuva Halla Bol. Mr. Shantanu Rooj is a founder and CEO of Team Lee's EdTech. And Dr. Jayajit Bhattacharya is an economist. Mr. Shantanu, I'm going to begin with you. You know, the opposition has been consistently talking about what they say is rising unemployment because of the CMIE data. Given the kind of infrastructure development that is happening all across the country, are there jobs that are being created which are not being captured by the surveys or assessments? What is the real picture?
Yeah, so unemployment has been a problem in India for quite some time. But if you look at the official unemployment rates, it's still at 6.8%, which says that everybody in India who wants a job has a job. The problem is not about the jobs. The problem is about the right jobs. Problem is about the wages rather than the unemployment problem. That brings me to the question of productivity in this country today. I think the government today at this point in time is doing the right steps to create an enabling ecosystem to improve productivity. If you look at the type of steps the government is taking towards formalization of the economy, the Make in India initiative, the FDI that's coming in, ease of doing business, decriminalization of the of this entire system, investments in education and skilling. I think all of these today creates the right recipe for India where the productivity is going to go up, wages are going to go up.
So we'll have to wait. At present, the opposition, are they right in raising those concerns?
I think it's too premature. I think it's too premature. The right steps are being taken. I think that the youth participation in on jobs in India has been consistently growing.
Okay.
That says that
Anupam,
quite bad condition.
Anupam?
Maria, you know, when we talk of jobs in the country today, so I have no doubt that India is facing a crisis of unemployment. Unemployment is not just an economic issue today. It has become a question of life and death. It has become a question of life and death for a huge chunk of youth population. And it clearly manifests itself not just in real life issues, but also in the data, in suicide data. You spoke about the CMIE data, but it is not just CMIE. I hope most of the panelists remember that in the month of December 2018, in fact, there was this NSSO survey, which was halted for a brief period of time and then released after 2019 Lok Sabha elections, which clearly showed that the rate of unemployment has broken its 45-year record in India. And we called it 45-year because data was comparable until the 45th year. So we are actually we are facing a crisis.
You are saying that India, we are facing a crisis. Dr. Jaijit, there is this other side of the coin, and I'm looking at what the Mudra loan disbursements are. There has been an uptick in that, startup registration and an increased number of tax returns. This certainly presents a different picture altogether of how there are people who are choosing entrepreneurship and micro-entrepreneurs being created. And the number of people who are engaged in self-employment, including unpaid, running small businesses, that has increased. Then when Mr. Kharge writes this letter, can this become a talking point in the run-up to elections?
You know, let's just look at the data and whatever data is available. So clearly the employment rate in India has been falling. You know, it has fallen to 46.3% now. But if you look at the other part of the story, which is number of self-employed men in India, and it's just data about men, not even women, it is one of the highest right now at 245 million. So something strange is happening. Also, if you would see the unemployed is largely between the age of 15 to 20. Now, I'm not sure whether India, which is growing, would like to have their workforce in the age between 15 and 20 to be actually working in the field or to be getting educated. So if there's a drop in that segment of 15 to 20 years, then clearly it's good for India in the future. So the data is not that easy to be simplified and a narration to be squeezed out of it. Clearly, there are good things happening, which is what the data is showing. There is more and more people who are getting self-employed. There is also a lot of people who are between the age of 15 and 20 who seem to be getting an education. And I think further data needs to validate that. But there is a drop in the workforce between 15 and 20, which clearly shows that something interesting is happening with that age group. And hence, when we look at this letter, and it also talks about suicides happening of Agniveers and so on.
Yes.
None of those suicides actually said that they are committing a suicide because they expected something else out of the job. These were suicides because of personal reasons. There are also suicides in the larger part of the society. Some of them will be because of financial reasons, and that happens globally. Is it a large pandemic that is breaking out, or is it just a statistical number which has been pretty much constant?
Okay.
Issues that need to be looked at.
Dr. Shama Mohammed, let me come to you now. Since this is a political story, we wanted to get some views of the analysts first and then bring in the politicians. The Congress is trying to make this an election talking point. You did so also in the assembly elections, which happened a few months ago. We saw the results. So are you really hopeful that this is going to be an issue which will ensure that perhaps the voters and the youth in particular will look at the Congress differently and perhaps even favorably?
No, nobody is doing this to win elections. This is the truth you have to understand. First, let me bust some lies which your panelists have been saying till now. The CMI says the unemployment rate right now is 10%, 10.3 exactly. The number two lie which I need to bust is one individual said that from 15 to 22. Sorry, that's wrong. It's from 22 to 34, the highest unemployment rate. So coming here and telling lies is no good. Number three, in Parliament last year, this is not elsewhere, the BJP government admitted since 2014, while 22 crore youth applied for jobs, we could only provide 7.22 lakh jobs. This is not the Congress party saying or any other party. This is the government of India in Parliament. So these are some of the lies. Now, the one individual also said that people are starting businesses. People can start business, but your consumption has gone down. So who's going to, anybody can start business. You're not going to able to sell it because consumption is very low at this point of time. Let's understand what is Agniveer. Now, the most important thing is you are having youngsters get into the army for 4 years. Let's understand them. In that 4 years, 6 months goes for training. So you hardly have 3.5 years. What do these people learn is that they learn certain skills and then they are jobless. Initially, they said they will take in 25% in states in certain areas, but now it's become 10%. Now you have to understand that they will be completely demotivated. One, they don't have a job after 4 years. The other thing which I can see is that they can be also recruited by militias, Naxalites, maybe because they know now how to shoot. I mean, I can say, so the biggest issue here is that 1.5 lakh youth went through a rigorous process of recruitment from 2019 to 2022.
Hmm.
They went through it. They got through it. All right. You know how rigorous
yes.
it is to the army.
Yeah.
Then they're told in 22 that you do not have a job. You cannot get in because we have started a three-way.
Okay.
Now,
so
that's very wrong what they have done. You need to, and we need to go back to the old days. Let's understand this is the army, the Indian army.
Okay. I think that was something that we saw play out even at that time when this scheme was rolled out, Dr. Geeta. But, you know, if there are concerns of this nature, which has been raised by none other than, a prominent leader who leads an opposition party, India's oldest party, which is the Congress party, how will the BJP and the government respond to it?
Well, Maria, I think these kind of allegations are going to increase in number as the 24 Lok Sabha election is going to approach. You see, first of all, the Congress spokesperson said that the data was presented that a particular number of crore people applied in various government jobs and the government could give them, certain number of jobs. So
I did not say government. I did not say, Dr. Geeta, but I did not say government jobs. I'll tell you exactly. Please don't misquote. I don't like misquoting. You're a senior person. I said, and I will read it out, 22 crore youth applied for jobs. The government was able to provide 7.22 lakh.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You are not.
Parliament.
Yeah, that's
go and read what the parliament.
So okay.
Time out.
Dr. Geeta Bhatt.
Don't put words. Which
Dr. Geeta Bhatt, please now on the screen.
If the government happens to have misquoting
statements,
I will not
Shama, you're not being misquoted.
And
Shama,
please do understand.
Okay,
go
ahead.
Tell your life somewhere else. You want to answer for a TV
tonight.
What can you take it? What can you do somewhere else? Your bug can be done somewhere else. No
okay.
problem. I'm there.
Okay, let's be cautious. Let's be cautious, ladies. Okay, let's be cautious now. This is not allowed. That's not acceptable, Dr. Geeta Bhatt. Let's come to the point. Ma'am, let's come to the point. Yes. There has to be caution. This kind of language is not acceptable. Go ahead, Geeta.
I'm very sorry to say that, but
go ahead, please make your point. Make your point, please. Make
no,
your point.
So the point here is that government is not, government never ever in the last, even when the Congress government was there, is it that they were able to provide jobs to all those people who were putting up their applications? No, it is not possible. And that is the reason why through national education policy, the government is trying to put forward skill education in a very big way.
Okay. Okay,
employment, go into entrepreneurship. Hmm. So all these factors, and I would like to put forth, Maria, one example in front of you, and that is of, getting selection of assistant professors in central universities, which is under the central government.
Okay.
For two terms of Congress government, there was no.
Okay, Dr. Geeta Bhatt. Dr. Geeta Bhatt, how should the statement of the current chairman of the 16th Finance Commission, Mr. Arvind Panagriya, be read, where he said that the concern for India is not unemployment, but underemployment. Geeta, if you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. How should this statement be read?
Well, Maria, the point here is that the government has, irrespective of who is, which political party is at the helm of affairs, the number of jobs that can be provided by the government will always be limited.
Okay.
The point is that there has to be creation of jobs in the industry. And for that, the government is trying to encourage people to go into entrepreneurship, start their own businesses.
Okay, Shama wants to respond. Let her respond and then I go back to the three experts. Please go ahead.
That exactly is what Mr. Panagriya is trying to say.
Okay, Shama Mohammed, please now.
She said it's not the government's responsibility, but the Prime Minister of India promised 2 crore jobs per year. Let me tell you that. During our time, the unemployment was 4.5%. And now I see an individual said a person that they have given 5.2 crore jobs. So why lie? Tell the truth. We never lied. You people keep lying in and out. There is an unemployment crisis and that is the truth. So get it into your head.
Okay.
If you want to
Anupam, there are temple towns that are being created, temple corridors that are being built. there are talks of this temple economy, particularly in these towns, be it Ujjain or Varanasi or Ayodhya. Do you think these are not generating employment?
Yes, these might also be generating some employments, but that is not the core question here. The core question here, and the way it is being addressed by some of the panelists here, referring to various data and everything, I'll, Maria, share some specific instances and examples with you, which will clearly show the crisis we are actually in. We recently saw these protests in Uttar Pradesh, where question paper for UP police recruitment leaked, and then there was another exam for ARO, where question paper leaked. And the scale of the protests, we all have seen those protests. Where did these students, these youth came from? Then there was this another protest a year ago for railways recruitment. Lakhs of unemployed youth protested for railway jobs. We all remember that. When Indian Railways advertised jobs to the tunes of thousands, you know, 2.42 crore candidates applied. You see the scale. Don't you think this clearly represents the scale of unemployment in the country? When we see jobs like police, for example, over 40 lakh candidates applied for UP police recruitment.
Okay, so
this is not just in one state.
That's a valid question.
Cutting across states.
Anupam, that's a valid question. That's why I want to ask from Shantanu. Shantanu, should this be seen as rising unemployment that you have so many applicants for so limited number of seats or positions? Or should this be seen that in India, still people aspire for government jobs?
I think it is to be seen in totality, right? So there is a very high aspiration for government jobs in India. So people who are still employed would also want to aspire for a government job. I'm not too sure whether all the applicants who came for that were actually unemployed. Indian agricultural economy still employs about 60% of the working class population there. So the Indian informal economy also employs a lot of people there. So it's not necessary that every person who applied for those positions in the public workforce or any other government jobs were actually unemployed. They could have been
Candidates who have done their post-graduation and PhD are applying for Group D jobs in the Indian Railways. How do you see this? How can you say that? And in fact, in India, aspiring for a government job has always been the case for decades. It doesn't mean that if you see 2.42 crore candidates applying for some thousands Indian Railways jobs, how is it not a reflection of the rising unemployment crisis? How is it not a reflection of the rising unemployment crisis when we see NCRB data, every 2 hours, three unemployed youth are committing suicide only because of job crisis? And we are not ready to even accept that there is a crisis. How will we even resolve the issue?
Okay, so then
is this a denial? Which came with a promise of giving 2 crore jobs annually.
Shantanu, is there a denial that there is a crisis of this nature?
As someone
who is involved in this recruitment space, I want to understand from you. You know, Anupam is someone who is leading these groups. He is obviously in touch with several youth. He is presenting an anecdotal evidence. What about you?
The problem, that the way we see it from our side here, Maria, is the fact that I represent Team Leaves, which happens to be one of India's largest HR services firm.
Yes.
Over the last 20 years, we have been hiring one person every 5 minutes in the country. So we have been seeing this market for very, very closely. Our understanding at this point in time is that India doesn't have a jobs problem. It has the wages problem. The problem is that most people who want to get employed are employed in some sort of...
just a smart way to dodge the question.
No, go ahead. Let him explain. Dr. Jayajit, there are points that have been made from the political class, but I think what Anupam says has to be responded to as well. Dr. Jayajit, will you respond?
Yeah, I think first of all, somebody in one of the panelists mentioned that my data was a lie. I don't know how data can be lied. And she talked about a age category of 22 to 30 in the CMIA data. There is no such age category. Let me underline that. There is an age category of 15 to 29. And that workforce had decreased from 25% in 2016-17 to 17% in 22-23. That is a fact. And I'm sure, you know, facts should not be changed. So let's first clarify that. Second, you know, absolutely right in terms of what Manish I'm the team lead person just mentioned. There is definitely a challenge of employability. that doesn't absolve anyone, because that's also a responsibility of all the government, the state government, the central government. We see, people with MCOMs not being able to define what is depreciation. And those are basic, ABCDs of commerce. Similarly, there are PhDs who are just, got a PhD by doing other things than actually studying. And therefore, there is a large issue of employability. And clearly what people are trying to do is try and get a better job, a more safer job, which is a government job. In terms of, data for those who are trying to get self-employment, that is happening. We just saw that it's one of the highest that has happened in terms of self-employment. There are a large number of gig workers. Last time we looked at it a few years back, there were about 7 million gig workers in just driving, which is Ola, Uber, and so on and so forth. And that's a large number of people. Now, also what happens is when one goes in and does the census and asks whether you are employed, the question is not whether you are getting an income. The question is whether you're employed and therefore if you have a job. And the answer is no. Whereas the person may actually be driving an auto rickshaw or will be having some other small businesses. Globally, small businesses are the backbone of any economy. And if we say that they should all come out of the small businesses and get a job, that is unrealistic. Also, let me clarify that the army is not a job-creating machine. The job of the army is to defend ourselves, and therefore whatever needs to be done, needs to be done. The whole tail-to-teeth ratio, increasing the teeth-to-tail ratio of the army is something which was important. That is, the teeth of the army needs to increase, more machinery needs to be bought for the same amount of money.
Right.
Same kind of changes happened in China, by the way. The size of the number of personnel in the military was cut down by half, so that money can be invested into modernization of the military. That's
right.
Exactly what the Indian military is doing.
All right, Dr. Jaijit, thank you so much. Dr. Shama Mohammed, Anupam, Mr. Shantanu Rooj, and Dr. Geeta Bhatt, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts.